evening and welcome to Inside the FLX. I'm Josh Durso and we are coming to you from the FingerLakes1.com studio in downtown Seneca Falls. Today we are going to be taking a look at the rail industry at the local level, and we will be speaking with two key members of the Finger Lakes Railway team. Deb Naharro and Steve Fisk are here in studio to talk about the industry, how it's evolved over the years, and what the future looks like for local railways. How are you doing, guys?
Fine, thank you. Thanks for inviting us.
Thanks a lot for coming on. So first off, for those who might not know you guys or may have seen you out and about throughout the community, tell us a little bit about yourselves and how you got into this business.
Well, me, it became like quite naturally. I was born in Oneonta, which was a hub for the Delaware and Hudson Railway. My grandfather, my mother's father, that is, worked for the railroad for 50 years. My father worked for the railroad for 45 years. And I've worked for the railroad for 40 years. So I've come by quite naturally.
It was in your blood.
It was in my blood.
And you, Deb?
Yeah, no, it was not in my blood. I got it by injection later in life. I have my own company called Backbone Business Support, and so I'm a consultant for different size businesses. And I started with Finger Lakes Railway managing their passenger services, which they ran for about 4 or 5 years. And so I was hired on to do that, learned a lot about the industry. You can't learn about railroading without kind of getting the full breadth of information. Freight railroading is more important almost than passenger services. So I learned a lot, left the company in 2010, and I have been consulting with them since then.
Okay, so you spoke to the history a little bit, and that was one thing that I think a lot of people would be interested in if they heard more about it. So could you talk to us a little bit about the history of railroading in the Finger Lakes and even generally, if you'd like?
Sure. First of all, I have to give a shout out to Paul Chenal of Seneca Falls, if any of you know him. He is a rail historian. And when I was doing passenger services, we tried to put together some history of the rail line so that folks who came on the trip would understand exactly how long this railroad had been here. So in 1834, the first railroad in this area started up called the Auburn and Syracuse. And so obviously out of Auburn to Syracuse. But yep. Shortly after that, 1836, the Auburn and Rochester Railroad was commissioned. Both of them were finished, complete, and in operation between Syracuse and Rochester by 1850, mm-hmm. hauling both passengers and freight business. So the line has been here for 170, 180 years at this point. Mm-hmm. Same exact line, same right-of-way. Obviously, tracks have changed. Rail ties have changed. You know, the upkeep of the facility has changed. But traffic and passengers have been moving on the line ever since. So Finger Lakes ended up purchasing the track from Conrail, who had saved the infrastructure from bankruptcy when 6 or 7 of the local rail companies were going bankrupt. And mm-hmm. Conrail said, you know, this can't happen. We can't lose all of these tracks. We can't lose a public utility that services the companies in the region and provides a service to residents. So Conrail ended up putting together the Geneva Cluster, which are the lines that Finger Lakes now operates on. Mm. It's 118 miles of track. Finger Lakes bought it with cash, you know, paid for it with their own money in 1995 and started operations with 7 employees. They were running about 5,500 carloads and had, I think, 2 locomotives. And today, 20 years later, they've got 60 employees. They're running 18,000 carloads.
It's come a little way.
And 14 locomotives. Yes, it's come a long way for a little railroad. And they're still considered small in the grand scheme of things. Railroading is definitely a national business, not just a local business. And they're a Class 3 railroad, which is short line, you know.
So you kind of alluded to it. It's grown a lot. What does that operation, and maybe Steve, you can speak to this a little more fluidly. What does the operation look like right now as far on the freight side of the rail?
Well, today we interchange with the Norfolk Southern, mm-hmm. the Class 1 railroad at Geneva, and we interchange with the CSX, another Class 1 railroad at Salve, New York. We have yard operations in Salve, Auburn, Geneva, Hemrod to Watkins Glen, and Penyan, and out to Canandaigua. Mm-hmm. We have one one through freight a day that run that transits between Salve and Geneva and goes back. And from that, we bring traffic that flows from the Norfolk Southern to Salve and from the CSX at Salve to Geneva, you know, customers in Auburn, Geneva, whatever, wherever.
Yeah. So what does... This is something we've talked about before. What are some of the benefits of rail transport as opposed to transporting other methods?
I think if you look at the rail industry and if you look at what we do here today, we bring our customers, we give our customers an alternative competitive option for both sourcing their raw products as well as taking them to market. And I think one of the biggest examples of that we have is the soybeans that we're loading at the ART terminal, mm-hmm. which are going to the Port of New York and then being loaded into containers and being taken to places like Singapore and Hong Kong and Amsterdam, wherever.
Halfway across the world.
You know, that's exactly right. We bring our customers to the world, and we bring the world to our customers.
Mm-hmm. So what are sort of the, obviously everyone has heard about the contract with New York City that would transport garbage waste up and would theoretically be utilizing those very rail lines. Talk to us a little bit about what that would look like for you guys and how that would all play out.
Well, from an operational perspective, it would add a pair of trains a day from Salve to the facility and back, mm-hmm. so one train in each direction each day. Other than that, we would plan on unloading the containers at the rail terminal, and then they'll be picked up by Seneca Meadows and brought across 414 to the facility. We work with Seneca Meadows the same way we work with any customer on the line. Mm-hmm. We can't say no to them. We have a common carrier obligation to move freight, and so we work with them the same way we worked with Seneca Foods, same way we work with Nucor in Auburn, same way we work with any customer along the line, mm-hmm. to help facilitate their business.
And one of the things that I found really interesting was that you guys have a ton of local customers. It's one of those things, like, there are a lot of people who count on the railway, and it isn't just this idea that trash is coming up from New York City. You guys are so far beyond that, if you want to add to that.
You know, that's one of the unique things that Finger Lakes is, especially from a Class 3 or short line industry, is we have an extraordinarily wide and diverse group of customers, mm-hmm. from paper and Salve to steel in Auburn to glass in Geneva, food in Seneca Foods, to especially the customers that are the agricultural customers. We bring fertilizers in, ship out soybeans. And it's very diverse. Mm-hmm. Our customers support somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000 jobs in this area, and they're fairly high paying jobs and good benefit jobs. Mm-hmm. That without the rail industry, they would not be as competitive as they could be. And there are customers that probably wouldn't even be here were it not for the railroad.
Now, that being said, one of the piggyback right into this. It isn't just that it is, well, there are multiple reasons why rail is chosen as a transport method. Talk to us a little bit about those methods or why it is picked.
Well, for example, from a strictly ton per movement, a rail car can hold up to 4 truckloads of material. So when you think of that, when you think of 4 truckloads, you're thinking about 8 truck movements. Mm-hmm. The rail industry, for the railroads, we can haul 1 ton of freight
471
miles.
Yeah, that's the new.
And 1 gallon of oil.
Yep.
So it's an expense thing, but One of the things that I've heard, it's also better for the environment.
Exactly.
So if you, one of you can speak to that a little bit, why is it better for the environment?
Well, the rail industry has done a lot of tests on comparing rail transport to other modes of transportation. Mm-hmm. Of course, there's diesel fuel that's involved, but as Steve was alluding to, the amount of weight that you can carry on 1 gallon of diesel fuel, you know, you can go 471 miles, one ton, on 1 gallon of gas. That's the ton per mile equivalent that they use. Trucks are, and I don't want to be quoted on what the truck rate is for that, but considerably less. Okay,
I would say safe to say it's below that.
Safe to say considerably, more than half. But the fact of the matter is, because of that ratio, that weight to horsepower ratio, they also emit less carbon emissions, mm-hmm. noxious emissions, I guess they would call
yep.
it, by 75% less than other modes of transportation. They provide less of a footprint. Mm-hmm. The infrastructure is taken care of by private dollars. 90% of the infrastructure is owned privately, and all of it is operated by companies that are putting their revenue right back into the infrastructure. And so, you know, in terms of air quality, I think that's the big issue. That's the problem. And one of the things that people don't realize about the rail industry is that it quietly operates in the background of your communities mm-hmm. all over the United States. And if there weren't railroads hauling these rail cars of different weight sizes and commodities, you would not be able to get through your local towns and roads, because the only other method to carry a lot of this would be by truck. Mm-hmm. So again, the 4-to-1 ratio is just an amazing thing to think about when you look at a rail, you know, a line of rail cars going down a rail line.
And that's one of the things too, right? I mean, I think we've talked about it before, is the fact that you're talking about a lot less stress on an already stressed infrastructure,
you
right?
Look at the infrastructure we have around us today, and everybody's talking about the crumbling yep. roads, the bridges that are, constantly being downgraded for weight, and the Association of State Highway Transportation Officers back probably 10 years ago came out with a landmark paper from their SCORT, which is the Standing Committee on Rail Transportation, which completely surprised everyone. They came out and they said that over the next 20 years, mm-hmm. the governments, the state and federal government, could not build enough road to accommodate the transportation needs at that time, mm-hmm. and that the only way that they were going to be able to survive this was to start looking at the railroads to bring along and to help fund and capacity issues and in building more capacity. And an example, right now I'd say it's somewhere between $1 million and $1.5 million to build 1 mile of track. You can't build an intersection in downtown for $1 million.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the kind of money they're looking at. It just makes good transportation policy to spread your freight transportation over the two modes, and to look at railroads as helping to become, you know, the answer to the problems we have here.
Mm-hmm. The Genesee Transportation Council did a study a couple years ago, same thing, looking at modes of transportation and the potential increase for freight traffic in this area. Now, a lot of this traffic is through traffic. We talked about customers that are here
yeah.
That Finger Lakes has developed, and, of course, you know, there's other operating railroads. But the fact of the matter is that freight business is going to increase. This is a consuming nation, and it's a nation of demand, and so there's a lot of transportation that takes place. And with that increase in demand, this is where the highway officials have said, wait a minute, time out. If this really is the true demand rate based on historic data, what are we going to do? And I bring this up again because it goes back to the waste by rail program that the railroads have been implementing for over 10 years, 20 years,
yeah, 20.
Waste by rail has been moving mm-hmm. In the nation. The fact that it's finally gotten through to New York City officials, which were the ones that really implemented a waste by rail program for their solid waste management plan, was key. they finally said, we can't handle traffic on our roads and bridges anymore. We need to stop with the truck traffic. And mm-hmm. the number one thing that we have control over as a municipality is our solid waste management plan. So, again, it goes back to that infrastructure.
So, to that end, assuming everything moves forward and you guys can start moving trash by rail up into the area, the idea is, or what you're going to hear from opponents and what we hear every day, is that mm-hmm. it's going to demolish our tourism industry. That you guys have said repeatedly that the two can coexist. Explain to us why.
Well, I'll speak to tourism because being in the passenger services for 5 years with Finger Lakes Railway, I got to learn a lot about how tourism really works. And there is no set definition on what a tourist is, okay, mm-hmm. first of all. And that may go against the norm of what folks kind of think. But this was my experience, and that is anybody who is doing some kind of entertainment in an area is considered a tourist. Mm-hmm. And people come in out of their own interest. They came in for rail fanning trips. I mean, there are a lot of rail fans in the world that travel and spend money and spend nights and stay in different areas just to see railroads operating, even if they can't ride one, mm-hmm. all right? That's one thing. The other thing is ecotourism, I think, is a growing section of the tourist market. There's a lot of ecotourism in this area, not just Seneca County, but the Finger Lakes area. Mm-hmm. The other thing is tourists don't know county lines. Most tourists don't plan their trip by trying to stay all in one county. Mm-hmm. The disconnect is that counties are funded as tourism promotion agencies by their county, and mm-hmm. that county is responsible for promoting that county's tourist attractions. So counties look at it a little bit differently, but tourist attractions look at what all is available. I've only got a small amount of time with this person that's coming into the area for some interest of theirs, maybe multiple interests. What am I going to do to provide this service to them? And then where else are they going to go? So from a tourist perspective, I was looking at all of the other things that tourists would do after they would come and ride a train. And so mm-hmm. we were, you know, obviously promoting the wineries, promoting hotels, promoting shopping, all of the things that, you know, anything that interests folks, walking on the trails. All of that happens while, as I mentioned a minute ago, railroads are operating in the background, a landfill is operating across the street, hotels are being built, shopping malls are being built, roads still take people to wineries are still having their festivals. All of that stuff can still happen. Mm-hmm. I think the unfortunate thing with the negative response from the local people here is that negativity, unfortunately, becomes the face of this area. Mm-hmm. I talked to somebody who actually drove into Seneca Falls on their way to a winery and said to me, what's that trash 323 thing mean, or stink free 23? What does that mean? And so I explained to them what the controversy was, and he said, wow, I would have never guessed that. I don't know the politics of the region. And he said, it was kind of a turnoff. You know, I drove mm-hmm. in here, and it's a beautiful area, and I'm wondering what stinks. And so, they can almost be their own worst enemy in some ways. I understand there's, and I'm going to go on for a second, because I understand that there are issues that the local people are concerned about when it comes to the landfill. Okay, it's a big facility. The landfill does the best that it can. Could it do better? Maybe. Is it trying to? I think absolutely. Get the word out. Deal with those concerns. The railroad, however, can't mandate what the landfill does. The railroad is a transportation provider. We would transport product for a customer. The fact that we are now tied at the hip because of this one issue, because of how people feel about the landfill, mm-hmm. Is unfortunate. Yeah. I think the landfill does a lot of great things in the community. I think that there's concerns about some of their operating practices. Can the two somehow find even ground? I certainly hope so. As a railroad consultant and also working with the Chamber of Commerce, we're going to try to have a conversation where we can invite people to the table that says, look, what can we do for economic development in Seneca County that includes every single type of existing industry that's already here, mm-hmm. including landfills and tourism and wineries and railroads and factories and retail and little downtowns and farms. I mean, Seneca County is actually, their number one industry is agriculture.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we want to tie into all of those industries, and tourism can survive in the meantime.
I'd like to make one other point about that.
Sure.
You know, if you say that, and that is just it's the truth, there's no additional tons going into this landfill, and that the landfill is going to exist at least until 23, whatever
their number
then
is.
The discussion really comes down to, as the best mode of transportation, what's best for everybody, and in the transportation, how do you get it here? Mm-hmm. And you talk about impacts on tourism. Do you really want it the gateway to this beautiful region being 414 down from the thruway with line after, you know, truck after truck after truck of garbage? Mm-hmm. Or would you rather see them see this nice road that's bringing you down from the thruway to our beautiful area, and all you see of trash is some truck taking a container across 414 and back?
Yeah.
That's the discussion. That's a discussion that should be taking place.
And that's the freight discussion, really. You know, that's where we talk about the benefit of freight rail versus highway freight. And
so to that end, another one of the benefits that I know has been discussed and debated is the tax implications. If you, one of you could just talk to us a little bit about, like, what the benefit would be on the tax side of it, because people automatically think about their property taxes, the tax bill that comes due once a year. That's always going to be there, but there's this sort of debate with both Seneca Meadows and Finger Lakes Rail, and for that matter, any business of size. If it comes or if it goes, generally speaking, taxes will be impacted. So if you could just talk to us a little bit about what the sort of implication is on that for you guys.
Okay, I'll do that. So property taxes are a problem throughout the entire state. We know this. And the interesting things about businesses that pay their property taxes is they don't get a vote. So businesses are really sort of that old motto of, you know, taxation without representation to some degree. That being said, businesses provide a vital tax base that is then obviously supplemented and or combined with, you know, your residence. The tax base situation for Finger Lakes in particular, and it's been mentioned about payment in lieu of tax programs, which are provided by the IDA. There are a lot of businesses in Seneca County, as well as all of the surrounding counties, that have pilot programs. All right. Finger Lakes Railway still pays over $200,000 annually in property taxes. A pilot program does not mean that it's Finger Lakes, in this case, or any other business that has a pilot program, is operating on the taxpayer dollar. That's not the case. They still pay property tax. Mm-hmm. The Auburn Road Rail Facility, Auburn Road Rail Terminal, we call the ART, at the Renewable Resource Park, once that is built out, that will increase in value. The assessment will go up on those properties. And as part of Finger Lakes lease with Seneca Meadows, they will pay the property tax on that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different conversations about assessments, but, you know, it's a significant amount of money. Mm-hmm. And they're not asking for an abatement on that property. They're not asking to roll it into their pilot by any means. It would be a straight payment with no tax credits looked for, as I think part of the responsible operating procedures of a railroad and a rail facility that is really looking at building business, not just with one potential customer at the landfill, but with, again, this number one industry in Seneca County, which is agriculture. And there's already traffic moving in and out of that facility today with plans for an awful lot more. The other thing about railroading, and I think businesses in general, is that we know there's impact to the local residents, and again, this opposition group has sort of vocalized the major ones. And this isn't a discredit to what folks do for a living, but there is a misconception about how long things take in business and how quickly things can get done. Big businesses take a long time to do things, you know? It isn't just a quick decision and something can be implemented. It took 8 years for Finger Lakes Railway to decide where they were going to put their agriculture transload terminal, which mm-hmm. ended up at the Auburn Road Rail Terminal. They looked at other places. They talked and built up their business before they decided where they were going to build it. Because, boy, once they decided, they invested $1.5 million. Mm-hmm. You don't make that decision in 6 months.
Right.
Yeah.
That just doesn't happen.
And there's another point, too, when it comes to impact on the local taxes. To the extent that we can be as successful as we think we're going to be there, and we build out in the rest of the park, that those improvements being made to that property will also increase the tax base and put it more on an industry. Mm-hmm. And also, if you think that railroads, for the most part, build, maintain, and provide all the capital infrastructure for the transit over them, if we take what's on the road today and put it on a rail today, the burden of the repair of the roads,
lessens
both, mm-hmm. In the county, in the village, and in the state.
So mm-hmm. increasing rail traffic would actually right. decrease, could potentially
the cost
decrease
burden
cost,
on infrastructure
or highway
in general.
Infrastructure, sure.
A great example is it's costing over $1 billion to replace the Tappan Zee Bridge. Mm-hmm. You're helping to pay for that. I'm helping to pay for it. Deb is helping to pay for it. Even though we don't enjoy the benefits of what's going on in the Tappan Zee Bridge, we're paying for that. Mm-hmm. And, somebody in the state government will say that, well, we got federal money to help us with that. Well, who's the federal government? But nobody but you and I. Mm-hmm. And so to the extent that, we can convert more highway traffic to rail traffic, it's going to have a positive impact.
So one last thing I want to ask you guys about before I get you on your way. You have an event coming up that you're sponsoring or that you're involved with to some degree on April 5th. If you could just talk to us a little bit about what that is.
Yeah. The other thing that's very important to railroads is safety. Not only the safety of their staff and employees, but the safety of the general public. And the interface that railroads have, number one interface, is grade crossings. All of the road crossings along the rail line. So Finger Lakes Railway works with a nonprofit organization called Operation Lifesaver, and they are coming in and doing a grade crossing collision investigation course with the Seneca Falls Police Department on April 5th. Mm-hmm. The entire police force, my understanding, will attend one of two sessions, which are going to be five-hour sessions, that are going to teach local police enforcement officers about the different federal laws that railroads operate under, issues on trespassing, how to investigate a grade crossing incident, because railroad locomotives are not the same as moving motor vehicles, so licensing and those kinds of documentation that the rail employee carries with them is different than a motor vehicle operator. So we want to be able to give all of those nuances and all of the background information to the local police department so that when there are incidences that occur either on the railroad or near the railroad or at grade crossings, that they'll know how to handle it and mm-hmm. that they can work hand in hand with the railroad officials to be able to come to a conclusion on what happened and how to take action, if there were injuries and things like that to prevent things from happening. So,
and what would what would be your parting message to something to leave with people who live in the Finger Lakes region as a whole? They see a train and maybe they think of the protesters or maybe they think of something negative pertaining to what you guys do. What is the parting message that you'd like to leave with?
Well, I think it's we are a member of the community. Mm-hmm. We help support the good jobs that are here. We help support, the quality of life that's here and the quality of the environment that's here. I think that we're best off running in the shadows, as if you will, only because it's a safety thing. But mm-hmm. we are a good member of the community.
All right. Well, I just want to say thank you for coming on. I know it's been kind of tough getting you guys scheduled because of how busy you both are, but really glad you came on, and I'm sure we'll be having you back again in the future.
We would love to come back. Yes, there's lots absolutely. Of other things to talk about.
Awesome. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us today. I'd like to thank Deb and Steve for both coming on the show today and wish them the best of luck moving forward. As always, the latest news updates and podcasts are just a click or a touch away on the Finger Lakes One app, available on Android and Apple devices. For Steve Fisk and Deb Naharro, I'm Josh Durso, reminding you to join us next week on another episode of Inside the FLX.